Would the young people come and join me this morning? It's so good to see you guys here. And for those of you who helped at the chicken barbecue, it was awesome. Next time you have to come and help at the chicken barbecue, you will have a fun time. It was a good day, but today is a very special day. Can you tell me what looks a little different? What, Sherry? No? What looks different? The snow outside. That is very different. I was kind of thinking of the terms in here, but you're right. That snow outside is very different. What looks a little different in here? Yes. There is not a lot of people as usual. All things that I was not thinking about. That's exactly true. Well, it's red. It's red in here today. Did you notice everything's red? That happens only a couple times a year. And the reason it's red today is because, do you know what today is? Today is considered the birthday of the Protestant Church. It is. Today is the birthday of the Protestant Church. We are celebrating today a man by the name of Martin Luther, who back in the 1600s nailed a bunch of his concerns on a door at Wittenberg Chapel in Germany, and it started the Protestant kind of a revolution in the church. It was very cool. And that's what we're celebrating today. That's why everything is red. It's Martin Luther. Have you guys ever heard of Lutherans? Okay, Martin Luther, that's where they get their name from, Lutherans, okay? And we actually, our worship tradition comes down from a different reformer. They weren't exactly friends. Actually, sometimes they fought. But his name was Calvin, and Ulrich Zwingli is the guy that originally where our worship tradition comes from. But you know, they all had something in common. You want to know what they all had in common? When they were young, they went to a certain kind of school that was taught by some brothers. And this is what I want you to remember today. The name of these brothers were called Brothers of the Common Lot. And these were a bunch of monks that decided that young people should be educated. And they had a bunch of schools, which was not, everybody didn't go to school back then, but they went around and they planted a lot of schools in Europe. And they were called, look at my face, Brothers of the Common Lot. And the really cool thing about it is mostly all of the reformers that happened back all those years ago all went to school and were taught by those monks called Brothers of the Common Lot. Now what that means is it's very, very important for you guys to learn truth when you're young. It's important for us to learn truth when we get old too. But when you guys get young, when you learn the truth, it helps you with the rest of your life. That's why it's so important to be in church. That's why it's so important to learn what Scripture says, because everything around us changes in life. But Scripture never changes. The things of God never change. And you can depend on them and you can base your life on them. Isn't that cool? Okay, let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we live in a world where everything changes, and it changes so quickly we can't keep track. But we thank you that you never change. We thank you that your word never changes, and it's the one thing in life we can always depend on. We pray as young people that you would help us to learn your truth so that it will help us for the rest of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now what you can do over there is in that basket right there are some goodies, some harvest goodies that Mrs. Dunn brought in for you. Okay, there's some very cool stuff. You guys have to get that. If you have a brother and sister, take one for them too. Or if you have five brothers and sisters, take them too.
You know, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, we started a series on responsibility. And we learned that Scripture really has something to say about responsibility. And the number one thing that Scripture has to say about responsibility is that you were created to be responsible. Before there was sin in the world, before there were the Ten Commandments, God gave human beings a whole lot of responsibility. And the other thing that we learned was that if you take time to think about it, that in our lives when we are the happiest is when we have responsibility and when we are doing a good job with it. when you have something important to do and you are doing a good job at it, that's when you feel good about yourself. And when you don't have responsibility, or if you have responsibility and you're doing a lousy job at it, you feel kind of bad about yourself. You were created to deal with and carry responsibility, and you were created to do it well. Another thing we learned is that in any community, whether it be a community of two people, or a family, or a church, or an organization, or a business, or a city, or a state, or a country, wherever there is a community of any size, when people are taking their responsibilities seriously, you don't need a lot of rules and regulations and laws. The bottom line is that rules and regulations are only needed when people are acting irresponsibly. We learned that in the very beginning, God created the earth and he gave human beings this tremendous responsibility and only one rule. From Adam and Eve's story, we saw that your responsibility eventually becomes somebody else's. Your irresponsibility eventually becomes somebody else's responsibility. Because irresponsibility isn't an isolated thing. Irresponsibility affects other people. You can't be irresponsible and say, well, it's nobody's business, because your irresponsibility eventually becomes somebody else's business and somebody else's job to take care of the mess that you make. Well, this morning, I want to talk about something that may have puzzled you when you were young, and that is the fact that rocks sink and boats float. Did that ever puzzle you? Rocks sink and boats float. Well, anyway. Well, a long, long time ago, there was a man by the name of Archimedes. I had to look that up. He explained why that's true. Now, rocks had been sinking and boats had been floating for years and years before Archimedes ever came along, but he was the first person to explain why. Archimedes discovered that there was a relationship, you see, between floating and sinking. He discovered that the ability to float is equal to how much water is moved. In other words, a weight will float on water if that weight moves the right amount of water out of the way. Now, the point of all of this is that this fellow didn't invent this premise. He didn't invent this law of physics. He just discovered it. He just wrote about it. He just said he just defined it. But people have been using this fact ever since to create huge aircraft carriers and other ships that weigh more than we can possibly imagine, and they have used this principle to make those things float. Greg, our son Greg, uses this law of physics all the time where he works at the Norfolk Naval Shipyards. Now, this law of physics is not good, and it isn't bad. It just is. It's a law of physics. Now, people can use it for good things, like making boats float, or they can ignore it, and they can have boats sink. They can face the consequences. That's just the way natural laws work. You know, I have never met anyone who has the idea that God is sitting in heaven randomly deciding what floats and sinks. I've never met anyone. I've never heard anyone who has prayed, God, we have built this ship, and we ask you to make it float. I've never, ever heard anybody that did that. We don't think that way because we understand how natural laws work. And today I just want to talk to you about a different law. It's one I've talked about before, but it's really, really easy in our busy lives to just kind of put it on the back burner and not really think about it. But it affects every single day of our lives. And that is that people reap what they sow. Okay, that's the truth. As we talk about taking responsibility for our lives, we need to understand that the reason irresponsibility eventually becomes somebody else's responsibility, and the reason that irresponsibility eventually always catches up with you is because of this foundational law. People always reap what they sow. Just like Archimedes, this law of physics, the fact isn't good or bad, it just is. It just is. And just like floating or sinking, you can use the concept for good things, or you can ignore it and you can just pay the consequences. It just is, and it just is every single time. God is not against you. God is not sitting up in heaven, always deciding to punish or bless you. Instead, God has given us just some awesome foundational truths that we live with, and we can use them to our advantage, or we get the consequences. But his law is we need to carry our own load. Look at Galatians 6. Paul wrote in this letter to the people of Galatia, 35 years after Jesus left earth, there were churches springing up, especially all along the coast in Asia Minor. So Paul, who had planted this church in Galatia, was writing to them, and he was explaining a bunch of things to them about Christian growth. In chapter 6 of the letter that I read, Paul is comparing our responsibility to help other people with the tendency that some people have to let themselves be helped when they don't want to take responsibility for themselves or their own lives. I just wanted to jump to the middle of the passage. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Paul is saying, do you know, it's really, really easy to deceive yourself when you're comparing yourself to other people. Each one should test his own actions, it says. As long as you're comparing yourself to other people around you, you know, you can find people that you're better than, and you can find people that you're worse than, but you're really in danger of fooling yourself into being really irresponsible about who you are. You have to hold yourself to your own standard. That's what Paul is saying. Now, you know, I was always a fan of Dancing with the Stars, and a few seasons ago, they had she was a very, very large black woman, older woman, and she was like getting further along in the competition. And they were interviewing her, and the lady said to her, you know, how do you hope, you know, to really keep up with these young dancers, you know? And she went, oh, please, those children, you know, and it just made me laugh because this has always stuck with me. She said, I am going to concentrate on running my own race, she said. And that's all I'm worried about. And I thought, what wisdom. And I think she even said my grandmother always told me, you know, run my own race. And I thought, what a Christian foundational principle, you know, run my own race. That's what she was going to concern herself with. Paul says when you run your own race, that you can take pride in yourself without comparing yourself to anybody else. Now, that pride that Paul is talking about isn't sinful kind of pride. He's talking about that self-satisfaction. As long as you're comparing yourself to others, you know what? You're going to make all kinds of excuses. Well, I'm not that person, you know. When you begin to compare yourself to yourself, that's when you can really start to make some progress. Paul says each one should carry his own load. Now, this is Paul's way of saying you need to take responsibility for yourself. You need to be responsible. You have family responsibilities. You have financial responsibilities. And you have responsibilities that are only for you in life. And you need to take care of those responsibilities. Don't compare yourself with other people's lives, because when you do that, then you take your eyes off your own race. Then you take your eyes off your own load. If you concentrate on taking care of your own responsibilities, then you're going to make progress. In verse 7, Paul is pretty blunt. He says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You know, when you were young, you know, you might have been able to outsmart your mom. I mean, we were all good at it. But mom, I didn't know that there was going to be a test. The teacher didn't tell us that there was going to be a test. I mean, you could, and you'd be very convincing. Now, don't look at your kids when I say this. You know, but, and then the parent would say, oh, don't worry, buddy. I'll call that mean old teacher, and I'll settle that, you know, I'll yell at her, and I'll take care of that. Well, that's not the way it worked at our house, but some people say that. You know, you might have been able to get away with that with your mom, okay, but you can't get away with that with God. You cannot outsmart God. There may be places and times in your life where you may be able to shirk your responsibility and get away with it. But Paul says in Galatians, God can't be fooled. You know, some of us have this impression that once we confess a sin to God, that God kind of has this amnesia and forgets that it ever happened. Well, you know, some of us think that, you know, that means that we can go out on a weekend. You know, we can do some pretty crazy sinning. And then on a Sunday morning, we can pray a magic prayer, and God will say, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You haven't done anything wrong as far as I know because you prayed the magic prayer. Well, you know, that would be a great system if that's the way it worked. But Paul says that is not how it works. Paul said God isn't stupid. He doesn't have selective amnesia. You know, if you're irresponsible, if you're not willing to carry your own load, you're not going to get away with that. I mean, you're just not. God is not going to sign permission slips in your life. You know, and some might say, well, does God forgive sin? Well, of course he forgives sin. You know, I was a pretty good mom. I think I gave it my best shot. I mean, I worked hard at being a good mom. I think I was a pretty good mom. I forgave my kids' sins, and they made plenty. I never forgot them, you know, but I forgave them. I love my children unconditionally. I really try hard to do that. And I never treated them different after they sinned. You know, they really blew it. I never treated them different. I never held it over their heads. But I dealt with those sins. And some would say harshly. And God, that's just me. I was giving it my best shot. God is the perfect father. He is never deceived. He is never mocked. He knows what's going on. You reap what you sow. Now, Paul gives us this amazing foundational truth. Okay, Paul says, okay, people reap what they sow. Where you are today is a result of decisions you made in the past. And where you will be tomorrow is connected to what you will do today and what you did yesterday. There is a relationship between any current irresponsibility in your life and what you can expect in days and weeks and months to come. Now, pay attention to what Paul does not say. Paul does not say people reap what they sow unless they ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness, you see, does not erase reaping. God loves us so much that he made this law something that we can count on, something that's very predictable. It's not fluid here. We don't have to get up every morning and say, gee, I hope my boat floats today. We don't have to do that. The world doesn't work that way. God doesn't operate that way. God is far more gracious to us than that. Through Scripture, he told us how the world works. He gave us a foundational truth. If you sowed irresponsibly for 5 years, and then you become a Christian, and you get your life together, you know, and you repent, that is awesome, and you are forgiven. That is awesome. But here the news is, and you may not think it, but it really is good news, you will continue to reap what you have sown. That's just the way it is. What you sow, you see, doesn't go away. There aren't exceptions. You can't wish it, pray it, obey it, love it, serve it, or give your way out of it. It just is. And this law can work for you, or it can work against you. Everybody reaps what they've sown. Now, it may be sooner, or it may be later. And the later, you see, is why so many people give up doing the right thing. You know, we may do the right thing, and we might not see the good of it. You know, for days or weeks or months or years. And later, the reaping the good later is why we look at people who are doing wrong things and we start to envy their lives. Later is why we question our good choices. You know, why am I being so faithful when nothing good is coming of it? Why am I being so honest when nothing good is coming of it? Later, you see, is why we give up too soon. Every time you are responsible or irresponsible, you will reap the good or the bad, but it's sometimes sooner and it's sometimes later. So what is it that you're supposed to do with this knowledge? Well, if there is any area in your life, your finances, your money, your dating life, your marriage, any relationships, your professional life, if you are not where you want to be, chances are you have sown and reaped yourself there in some way. Now, in some ways, it's obvious. If you have been racking up debt, you have saved no money, you have given no money, and now you're saying, oh my, I'm in a mess financially. Well, you know what? You shouldn't be surprised, and that's pretty obvious. But there are other situations in life that the cause and effect aren't so obvious, and we don't even know it till later that these were some terrible choices. So if you're somewhere in your life where you don't think you ought to be, and maybe you don't even think you deserve to be, then there are a couple of things you can do to use this sowing and reaping for your benefit. The first thing you can do is to go back to that pie graph. Remember the pie chart we talked about, the big pie? Got all those pies out there, the big pie graph we talked about last week. Remember, the entire circle represented all the chaos in your life? All the chaos, all the pain, all the trouble. It was all in that circle. And remember I said you need to find out what is your slice of the pie? Okay, what is my slice? Now think hard. And don't deceive yourselves, because nobody's going to see your pie. Okay, this is in your head. Well, you know, you have to think about what is your slice of the pie. Remember, whether it's big or small, you have to work on your slice. If you don't like where your marriage is, if you don't like what's happening with your teenagers, if you don't like what's happening with your job, just ask yourself, well, you know, what part of the situation is about me? What part of that situation is about you? For example, maybe you're unhappy with your relationship with your kids. Well, how much effort are you putting into that relationship? It doesn't matter, you see, how much effort they're putting in, because that's their slice of the pie. It matters how much you're putting in. How much effort are you putting into that relationship? You have to work and focus on what you're responsible for. Your slice could be big, it could be little, it doesn't matter what size your slice is. But the only way to make this law work for you in terms of responsibility is to work on your own slice, no matter how big that slice is. And some of you have to really think hard about that. Remember Paul's words, you have to carry your own load. You have to quit worrying about other people's loads. And the second thing you can do is harder. You have to begin to do those things that you should have been doing all along. Listen to how Paul finishes this passage. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So you need to work on your own slice, and you need to start doing what you should be doing. And here is where the law of sowing and reaping really works for our advantage. Just like you reap way worse than maybe what you think you deserve, when the time is right, the rewards you receive for doing what's right will be bigger than you deserve too. And that's the awesome part. I have seen this very thing in my ministry. I have seen couples who have been in a mess financially. They can't even imagine how they're going to get out of this situation they're in, but they cut up their credit cards, they start this process of, you know, plodding towards a goal, doing what they should have been doing all along. And do you know the awesome thing that happens? I see it. I've never seen this not work. More quickly than anyone could ever imagine, they look around and they realize they're free. They're free from the financial burdens, and they are blessed in ways that they know they do not deserve. I have never seen it not be true. But that kind of freedom only comes without excuses. No more pointing fingers, no more blaming, it's not my fault, no more denial. That kind of freedom only comes when we face the music. Now, Paul promises that when we start to do good, in due time we'll reap a reward. Now, if you are 25 years old or younger, I want you to listen. Okay. Okay. Go back to sleep. Okay. And there's not a lot of us here. Not a lot of you here that are 25 years or, but if you are 25 years or younger, please listen to me. I can tell you what people who are 50 and over are saying. They are thinking, boy, I wish I would have heard this when I was 25. You know, I would have been a little more careful in my life. But the thing of us, here it is. Most of us who are over 50, we did hear this. We did hear this when we were young. We heard this We heard this principle in some way or another when we were younger, and we thought, yeah, right. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with me. You know, I've got time. That's what we thought. That's what the older ones of us thought. I thought, I thought, you know, I don't need to worry about this right now. I can always find a way out of things. You know, I'll always get by. So at 25 years or younger, you see, we began habits that came back to bite us in our 40s and our 50s and our 60s. See, we just did, you know, because we were stupid. You know, this principle of sowing and reaping will bless you, or it will catch up with you every single time. It is a law of physics, like a law of physics. Do you know why I think God doesn't mess with this rule? I think the reason he lets us crash ourselves against it or use it to our benefit is, I think, because if he made exceptions, then the next generation wouldn't learn anything. And this reminds me that I have a choice as an individual. I have a choice as an adult. I can learn from the previous generation. This reminds me that I can learn from them. That I can talk to older people and I can listen to what they say about the way to live life, and I can know I need to pay attention to that. So I can learn from a previous generation, or I can just be a bad example for the next one. That's what it reminds me. God is not going to remove this rule. Now, does God love us? Of course he loves us. And that's why he has given us this foundational truth. Does God have compassion on us? You bet he does. Does his heart break when we are suffering? Absolutely. Does he cry with us? Yes, he does. Can we come to him and can we say, I am in so much pain? Yes, we can do that. And he will console us. And he will say, I know. I am so sorry. And I love you. But then he will say, but I can't be mocked. If I allow you to mock me, then the whole thing will break apart and the ship will sink. And God just loves us too much to let that happen. But do you remember the good news? In the same way that you are hurt by your irresponsibility, in that same way you will be rewarded when you start to do what you should be doing. Ultimately, you will be glad you did what's right. So here's the question we're asking every week. Are you taking responsibility for your life really? Are you taking responsibility for your money? Are you taking responsibility for your marriage? Are you taking responsibility for your family? Are you taking responsibility for school? Are you taking responsibility for your work? Are you taking responsibility for your Christian faith and your walk with the Lord? If not, what are you going to do about it today? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you that you are unchanging and that you give us laws that are unchanging that we can count on. And Father, we admit that a lot of times they do work against us, but we thank you because they will also work for us, and we pray that you would give us wisdom to make that work. And Lord God, the parents of us that are here today, we know that there is nothing that we can do to guarantee that our children will come to the faith and be saved. But we know that there is something that we can do to pretty much guarantee that they won't. And that is to take our faith lightly, to be lukewarm in our faith, to show them by our living that you mean nothing to us. Revive us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the benediction.
Our benediction is our scripture reading for today, only beginning in verse 7. I use it a lot. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen.